All right. Seriously, joking aside, Thor's singing along here. It's time for some Proverbs every day. But here's a song inspired by Proverbs 24 while we're waiting people to join us live. Enjoy.
I passed by the field of one who was lazy, by the vineyard of a stupid person. It was all overgrown with thorns, the ground was covered with weeds, the stone wall was broken down. Then I looked and received instruction. But a righteous heart is more than enough. With wisdom's voice guiding every day, we'll rise above and find our way. A house is built by wisdom's hand. Understanding makes it firmly stand. Knowledge fills its precious rooms. Treasures grow though troubles loom. A little slumber, a little sleep. You'll keep. Build your house by wisdom's hand. And get outside and work the land. With a proverb a day, you'll bring wisdom your way. Read a new chapter each calendar day. Proverbs every day. Keeps us right on track, leaves foes behind, we don't look back. Better a neighbor than far kin, strength together help us win. A little slumber, a little sleep, poverty is what you'll keep. Build your house by wisdom's hand, get outside and work. Stay true, don't imitate. Lessons learned along the way shape the dawn of a brighter day. A little slumber, a little sleep. Poverty is what you'll keep. Build your house by wisdom's hand. Get outside and work the land.
Okay, so the countdown wasn't exactly right. Sometimes it just works out that way. We're going to work on the technology bit here sometime very soon, actually, and kind of try and get that resolved. But it's all live, right? Not for long. We're going to be introducing some stuff I'll probably talk about way, way, way at the end, maybe even like more like Monday, because we got two chapters to go through today. Two. So let's get started with a bit of prayer, and then we'll just go from there. Father God, thank you so much for humor. Thank you for joy, and thank you for your wisdom. And we do ask that you would send all of those things upon us today, that we may be not just using the phrase blessed, but truly blessed, but truly aware of what you have for us in our daily lives and in the lives to come and in those lives around us, I should say. Father, I do pray that all the words that are spoken today are of you and not of me, that these are things that drive fear and terror into the enemy, that he is trembling and cannot stand the light any further, that he is driven from us, and that we reserve all fear, all doubt, all the things that would take us from you, that we bring back to you, and we lay at your feet, Father. We do this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, let's dive in. Of course, that means me pushing the magic button to actually show you the screen that has all the words on it. The words of life in Proverbs 24 and 25 today. Yeah. It's always a happy day for me because I get to play my favorite song, as you heard earlier, I think. But it is kind of funny to me. I was like, it brings so much joy to my heart, and yet like three people hear it. So we're working on that part of it too, trying to figure out ways to get this going further. But like I said, I'm excited, but I'll talk about that later. I'll reserve that for later. We'll dive right into Proverbs 24. Don't envy evil men or desire to be with them, for their hearts plan violence and their words stir up trouble. A house is built by wisdom. It is established by understanding. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with every precious and beautiful treasure. So it's built by wisdom, not vanity, not, yeah. I guess in my life as a person who has become a bit of an architect and an engineer in the electronics world, and I'm actually taking all of those things and putting them into practice, into coaching, and into even in writing and speaking and things like that, that I'm taking these lessons and applying them to other places in the world. And so for me, there are four stages to any kind of project, and it's just kind of as cyclical for anything. And the first is you understand, and you plan, and then you change, and then you maintain that. But there's a insertion point, and that is what wisdom is. Wisdom inserts the need for a change, for something to be different than it is, to be better than it is. That has to be inserted into that process. Otherwise, the process is just not actually done for any kind of reason other than just doing. And so saying that a house is established by understanding, and understanding leads to having a plan, right? So by knowledge, that plan, the rooms are filled, not things are stuffed in the corner, but they're filled with every precious and beautiful treasure. Another way to look at this is if you don't have these things, then you go backwards in the process and say, okay, what did I miss? What I missed? Did I build this house by some sort of vanity? Did I build it by just a sense of, you know, this is all I can do? Did I build it by scarcity? That's why it's important to see the structure. It leads to the result. It's not just the linear thing like we sometimes think about it, like this just happens. There's a process to it. And so we have to have that establishment by understanding. Otherwise, we can't really do these things. Anyway, I geek out about these things, and I hope this is helpful to you as well. And we're finally up to verse 5. Good job, DJ. 10 minutes in, and you're on first five. A wise warrior is better than a strong one. One is in strength. And a man of knowledge than one of strength. Oh, I think it says, so knowledge exerts strength. So, okay, so there's a in some translations that's kind of put in a different order kind of thing. Okay, so a wise warrior is better than a strong one. A man of knowledge than one of strength. For you should wage war with sound guidance. Victory comes with many counselors. Yes. So now the funny thing about this is we're living in an age now where this a wise warrior is better than a strong one is absolutely true. It has been ever since World War One. And some would argue even in just after the time this was written, when certain weapons were developed that made it so that even somebody who was not strong could still defeat somebody who was. You know, that projectile weapon, that the bow and arrow, those kind of things, were increasingly vital on the battlefield. And so, having that wisdom of when to know when to strike and when not to, and when to get out of the way and not to, that sort of thing. Those bits of cunning, that is better than just being strong, big, burly man on the battlefield. Because that's just, yeah. And today, this is like, well, yeah, obviously, Deej, you know, better to be a good shot than to be able to throw someone across the room, right? So it makes sense today, but you know, it's better to remind ourselves of that it's about wisdom that really is the difference maker. Now, verse 6 is important because we also need that guidance. The victory comes with many counselors. That's something where, you know, it's if you're just in it alone, that's not going to work. But if you're trying to lead alone, let me just say that one more time. If you're trying to lead alone, then you will also fail, and the people under you will fail as well. Victory comes with many counselors. You need those peers to be putting ideas to be checking in with. If you don't have that, then honestly, there's no path to victory. And this is the truth. Yeah, that's must be Saturday. Oh, pardon me a moment. Wow, that was a sudden. Wisdom is inaccessible to a fool, or too high for a fool. He does not open his mouth at the gate. The one who plots evil will be called a schemer. A foolish scheme is sin, a mocker detestable to the people. If you do nothing in a difficult time, your strength is limited. Rescue those being taken off to death, and save those stumbling towards slaughter. If you say, "But we didn't know about this," won't he who weighs hearts consider it? Won't he who protects your life know it? Won't he repay a person according to his work? Earlier this week, I posted something on LinkedIn that was rather kind of personal about this, about saying that I was feeling very convicted. Actually, it was after a broadcast here, right afterwards. Actually, I couldn't escape from the notion that, you know, it's just like there's more I could be doing, and not just with my finances. Rescuing those that would be taken off to death. There's so many people that are. I'm going to get preachy here, and bear with me. We are going to get through both chapters, but this needs to be said. there is such an effort out there. I've called it programming, and I'm not backing down from this because that's what I see it as. You know, the enemy is trying very hard to program people towards fear and doubt. And it's using it, politics is the weapon that the enemy has been waiting for hundreds of years. You know, the current political climate is, carefully choose my words. It's the perfect breeding ground for everything that Satan loves, well, or lives in. Satan can't love. But we have to realize that this is something that we have to be rescuing people from. You know, there are people out there that are literally dying because of these things. They're stumbling towards slaughter. They are so consumed with these messages that are being just pummeled at them that, oh, they have no more hope. That they're not being served by the system anymore because the system is you know, corrupt and all these kind of things. And that might be true, but that's not the point. The point is we have a rescue. We have a methodology here that we can get out of this. We can get out of any trouble by going to the source of life. And of course, the media doesn't want to say that. That doesn't sell. That doesn't make ratings. That doesn't make for good television. That doesn't make people be glued to the TV set, does it? But we can't claim ignorance of this. We can't say we didn't know about this. We can't just push this off and say this is not our problem. You know, oh, geez, the media being stupid. I just turn it off. That's not enough. It's not enough to say, oh, I just give to charity and that's good enough. You know, I let them take care of it. It's I'm not really good at dealing with those people, so I just let other people do it. You know, that's not good enough. He who weighs hearts, consider it. He knows me. He knows what I'm actually thinking. He knows where my heart actually is. He knows if I am being standoffish and being stubborn and trying to keep other people away from me and therefore rejecting also those that need my help. If I can find a way to inspire them and equip them towards a better life, and all I'm doing is sending finances, come on. Finances are gone in an instant. Finances are under attack. The whole notion of the way inflation works is being attacked from all sides, and it's not going away, and it hurts those that are struggling the most. So for us to just turn a blind eye and say, oh, just the answer is more finances, more money, well, guess what? That's going to happen. That's just going to go away. It's going to be obliterated because it won't have as much value by the time it gets to them. It takes more than that. It takes a way to get into their lives and keep them from stumbling towards slaughter. It's weighing heavily on me, and as you can tell. So hopefully this is something that also convicts someone else today. Somebody else will hear this and feel the same kind of way. But it is important to realize that God sees our hearts, and you know, no amount of public display will cover that. He's the one who knows it. Well, let's talk a little bit about abundance and whatnot. Verse 13, eat honey, my son, for it is good, and the honeycomb is sweet to your palate. Realize that wisdom is the same for you. If you find it, you will have a future, and your hope will never fade. It's that, right? It's the wisdom is the same for you. It's that sweetness. Wait. Okay, fine. If we have an attitude that this is just boring, and I, by the way, I'm really finding myself on a mission right now to lean into this and make this not just rote words that we read from a page, but that they come alive for you. if you find it, you'll have a future. Your hope will never fade. That sounds pretty sweet to me. It's an open invitation. And sometimes we need to remind ourselves that just because we had it once doesn't mean we have it now. And we need to seek after it the same way we'd seek after something sweet to the palate. Verse 15. And this is kind of rare. He's actually talking directly to a wicked man here. It's very, very rare in Proverbs that there's ever a direct addressing of those that are outright wicked. But wicked man, don't set an ambush at the camp of a righteous man. Don't destroy his dwelling. Though a righteous man falls seven times, he will get up. But the wicked will stumble into ruin. So it's a warning. And again, it's very much in nature. We see it. It's design. We can doubt it all we want, but it's been there before the earth was created. That is just the pattern. That is the way the system works. That a righteous man may fall, but they get back up. And that is the truth. That is something I don't want to get too much into it, but let's just say that there is I had a friend in high school that I recently found out is just very much bottom of the barrel and is not taking phone calls and that sort of thing. It's just like, but it was that whole like making the choices and stumbling and never being able to get back up. And I hate to say it, but it's just like, it's not that I'm somehow better, but we had the same choices to make. We had the same background. We had the same challenges, you know, come from the same place. So it's not anything that was given to me that's the difference. It was just choosing to seek after righteousness. That's it. Unfortunate. Verse 17, don't gloat when your enemy falls. Okay. Don't let your heart rejoice when he stumbles, or the Lord will see and be displeased and turn his wrath away from him. Someone said to me once that, and I don't remember who this was, but it was along the lines of if we call down wrath upon someone, if we want them to suffer, if we rejoice when they do, then that's the Lord saying, okay, well, if that was good enough, then I won't do what I had planned. That sort of thing. And this is like, are you sure that's what we want? Yeah. Verse 19, don't be agitated by evildoers. Don't envy the wicked, for the evil have no future. The lamp of the wicked will be put out. My son, fear the Lord as well as the king. Don't associate with rebels or those given to change. Interesting. For destruction from them will come suddenly. Who knows what distress the two can bring? Still, the distress these two can bring. Interesting. What distress these two can bring? I think that's in reference to God and the king. It also rhymes, which is kind of cool. King and bring. Little poet songwriter come out of me again, but that's interesting that we see that. Fear the Lord, and I wonder if another way to translate this would be fear the Lord and respect the king, something like that. Yeah, just a thought. So that's getting to some more sayings of the wise. These sayings also belong to the wise. It is not good to show partiality in judgment. Whoever says to the guilty, you are innocent, people will curse him and his tribes will denounce him. but it will go well with those who convict the guilty, and a generous blessing will come to them. He who gives an honest answer gives a kiss on the lips. Complete your outdoor work and prepare your field. Afterward, build your house. Pardon me. Don't testify against your neighbor without cause. Don't deceive with your lips. Don't say, "I'll do to him what he did to me. I'll repay the man for what he has done." Let me go back to something real quick. On verse 27, it just feels like that's something that needs to be brought up. There's an order to things. I'm trying to piece together. There's a dream I had last night that's kind of like this, that everything was happening out of order. Like I was in the middle of a move or something like that, like moving again, and we were trying to like fix things before they were packed, or it was something weird like that, where there was just everything was not happening the way it was supposed to. You know, we were very inefficient. It was very frustrating, and nothing was working right. And so this is kind of like that. There's things we need to prioritize and then build the house, then do these other things. And so having your priorities straight and not letting that be twisted because of a moment is very important. You know, you're feeling a need for something. If there's other needs that are greater, you're doing a disservice by putting one above the other when it shouldn't be. Prepare your field. In other words, there's things to do that pay off later. And so those should have priority. You know, then you can do the other work. But if you build your house first and then try to prepare your field, for example, well, the time you spent building your house, now you're just going to be, you know, prepare a field, but it might either be too late, or it's one of those things where it's just like, it's now you're just going to be sitting around with nothing to do, waiting and hoping your crops come in. Anyway, there's a little story here, verse 30. I went by the field of a slacker, by the vineyard of a man lacking sense. Thistles had come up everywhere. Weeds covered the ground. The stone wall was ruined. I saw it and took it to heart. I looked and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the arms to rest. And poverty will come like a robber. Your need like a bandit. This is normally why I'd play the song again, but we've got a whole other chapter to go through today. So take a moment, stretch a bit. Yeah. Maybe if you're on a TV this morning or something like that, and you haven't hit that subscribe yet, maybe just hit that up button so you see all the items there, and hit that little subscribe button there so you get these reminders every day. Yeah, just take a moment, do that. All right. Yeah, it's interesting. By the way, I do see in some of the metrics that are collected by YouTube, and that I can see that, you know, surprising number of people are viewing from either their phone or a TV. And so that makes sense to me. That's a way to go. So, but it makes some of the things like, you know, making sure you're getting notifications and things like that a little more difficult on a TV. And so I find, well, you can do exactly what I do. I set an alarm on my watch to go do the broadcast, right? So same kind of thing. If there's a video that I know I want to view in a day and it's published every day, then I would set an alarm for when I want to do that so I don't forget about it. And it becomes a priority for me. So the things that are important, do the things to make sure you're setting aside the time for it. And so I hope this is something that has become important for people and will become important for more people. Let's hope. So when I originally structured all this, this was not my intention to have these two combined. I wanted to actually do 25 and 26 together. But it's really what I figured out is it doesn't really matter. So because it's this collection of Proverbs is actually four chapters. So there's no really way to do it in a way that makes sense. So we're just going to go for it. But we're get ahead so we can actually do through 28 days today, or 28 days, 31 Proverbs in 28 days. Yeah. So let's go through Proverbs 25. These two are Proverbs of Solomon, which the men of Hezekiah, the king of Judah, copied. In other words, he had people around him that were writing these down. It had been passed down from generation to generation. From leader to leader, and so they were that valuable, and so they were actually written at this point. We don't know at what point the other ones were written, really, truly, but we have this little part here that tells us that it happened. It's kind of cool. From a historical standpoint, very, very cool. Verse 2, it is the glory of God to conceal a matter, and the glory of kings to investigate a matter. It's kind of fun. As the heaven is high and the earth is deep, so the heart of kings cannot be investigated. That's a weird way to say that. You know what? We're right here. I'm very curious. NIV says, hearts of kings are unsearchable. Okay. What does our Amplified say about it? Ancient rabbis explain this as a reference to the countless details of the government that are king's responsibility. Okay, that makes sense. That does make sense. So it's more just there's so many things that it's too much for a person to see, which actually is we see that today in a way with just leadership in general, whether it be a business or government, that really it is there's so much going on that it's really impossible for the one-on-one to happen. And so it's really important for leaders to have people that they're working with that are not only delegating tasks, but also that counsel, the people that are helping them out and are able to kind of handle all the different items. And so, yeah, that's an interesting way to say that. Verse 4, remove impurities from silver and a vessel will be produced for a silversmith. Or come out, literally, okay. Remove the wicked from a king's presence, and his throne will be established in righteousness. Again, I think that's beyond just kings. I think that's just leaders in general, especially governmental leaders. Don't brag about yourself before the king. Don't stand in the place of the great. It is better for him to say to you, come up here, than to demote you in the plain view of a noble. Or before a noble with whom your eyes see. But I want you to catch this. This is when your character shines through more than your voice. In other words, don't brag about yourself before the king. Don't try and put yourself in a position of influence. Just be in a position of influence is what it means. Is like if you are someone who is helpful to those around you and lead from the shoulder as my mentor, I guess you could say, John Maxwell, says in, I think it's in the 360 degree leader, that there is really the people that go just strictly top down, they don't really do well, but the leaders that actually look to the sides and see that kind of leadership, that's the ones that can be built up. And so having it to where your character just shows through in that you are assisting others and leading others, just by your nature, that's the kind of things that will cause you to rise in these situations instead of trying to just brag about yourself or try and put yourself, to position yourself politically or whatever. There's a lot of that going on in the world, and it's just, we see it not working in the end. Cough. That was a bit of a dig I probably should have taken, but yeah, whatever. Sometimes you just see it and it's so obvious, and whatever. Verse 8, don't take a matter to court hastily. Otherwise, what will you do afterwards if your opponent humiliates you or your neighbor humiliates you? Make your case with your opponent or neighbor. Make your case without revealing the other's secret. Otherwise, the one who hears will disgrace you and you'll never live it down. Your evil report will not turn back. So in other words, I have this leverage. And so I'm just going to tell everybody about it and discredit them because they humiliated me. And so I'm going to get back at them by revealing a secret they have that they had trusted me with, or whatever that looks like. And the only person that looks bad at that point is you. Check yourself before you riggedy riggedy wreck yourself. Verse 11. I can't believe I just said check yourself in a in a Bible broadcast. Verse 11. A word spoken at the right time is like gold apples on a silver tray. A wise correction to a receptive ear is like a gold ring an ornament of gold. That's a little tough to say. So apples of gold and the settings of silver. There's a So to catch that, the word spoken at the right time. That's what's valuable. Wise correction to a receptive ear. That's valuable. Meaning that the opposite of those are not valuable. A word spoken at the wrong time is not valuable. Trying to correct somebody that doesn't want to hear it is not valuable. I went back and forth on posting something in response to someone this morning. Kind of calling them out on some bad leadership decisions, basically. But they had asked for feedback. They had literally asked, what do you think? So I'm like, okay, I'm going to assume that means you're a receptive ear. Now, I'll probably find very quickly that my words will fall on a deaf ear. But he asked. So I was like, well, because you asked, here you go. Here's some hopefully wisdom to you and some things you're not looking at properly and you're that sort of thing. So we'll see. But had I just done that if he had not asked for that feedback and I'd made that post like that, then I would be in the wrong I would be no better than the average YouTube troll at that point. I know you're out there. I know you're probably watching right now and are just ready. I'm not asking for it. No, thanks. To those that send him, a trustworthy messenger is like the coolness of snow on a harvest day. He refreshes the life of his masters. The one who boasts about a gift that does not exist, wow, is like clouds of wind without rain. boasts about a gift that does not exist. Oh. Ah, gosh. Sometimes our human nature is just so... I don't even have the words for it sometimes. Just utterly ridiculous. Because we know that this is not outside the realm. You and I know somebody right now. We can think of a name right now that is somebody that has done this. It's ridiculous. Let's go on. A ruler can be persuaded with, a ruler can be swayed through patience, and a gentle tongue can break a bone. Wow. If you find honey, eat only what you need. Otherwise, you'll get sick from it and vomit. Quick note about that. If you find honey, in this kind of context, going across a field or whatever that would be, you know, you might basically stumble across a honeycomb. You know, it would be in the ground and, you know, you would have honey. And so if the bees are all out, you might have some ability to actually have some honey kind of thing. And so instead of eating all of it and keeping it from anybody else, you just only eat what you need. That's what this is saying. So that's true in a lot of other circumstances too. If you just happen to stumble upon something that wasn't brought to you, you know, hoarding that and keeping it only for yourself. Does that seem like the nature of generosity that you found? Does that seem like God's nature to you that he's saying, well, here's $100,000 that you didn't really earn. Is he saying go hoard that and don't tell anybody about it and just kind of hold it to yourself and you know, spend it or whatever and just not do anything with it? No, we know that, right? We know that feels wrong. And so this is why this is saying this, is to reinforce that notion we have that's not right. Now, verse 17 is completely different. Seldom put foot in your neighbor's house, otherwise they'll get sick of you and hate you. I mean, inviting someone in, that's one thing, but inviting yourself? Yeah. We need other relationships in our lives. Yeah. A man giving false testimony against his neighbor is like a club, a sword, or a sharp arrow. Trusting an unreliable person in a difficult time is like a rotten tooth or a faltering foot. Actually, not sure why those are grouped together, but the same with the other one. You know, it's like, I'm not sure why those are being grouped. I'm sure there's probably some reason, but I'm not really catching it. These don't seem related. Well, not completely. Interesting thought, I guess. Singing songs to a troubled heart is like taking off clothing on a cold day, or like pouring vinegar on soda. Okay. Yeah, I guess I've lived this so long that, you know, if I'm having a bad time of it and somebody starts just la 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 la, you know, it can be irritating to me. And you know, I've been guilty of that myself to others. So yeah, it is what it is, but just be aware that, you know, the singing a song is not what they need. It's comfort that they need. It's being built back up again. It's not just, oh, just sing a song, be happy. You know, it's not what they need. Verse 21, very often quoted and rightfully so. If your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat. And if he is thirsty, give him water to drink. For you will heap burning coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you. The thing to understand about the heaping burning coals on his head, it's one of those weird things where it's just like, our greatest weapon is our willingness to sow generosity. Now, if they still are your enemy after that, then that's when it's to the Lord at that point. You know, it's one of those things where that's where that's at. But honestly, if you are generous to your enemy, somebody who does not like you, you know, if I could drive to the house of every, you know, hater on YouTube that says mean things and say, hey, you know what, here's a refund. No, I'm kidding. or, you know, whatever that looks like. There's a wide range of things that could look like. But that generosity, that spirit of you know what, I know we disagree, but, you know, here's some food or here's some whatever, here's some of my time or, you know, whatever that looks like. I don't know what that looks like in every circumstance, but it's the heart of the matter. It's heart of why you do this is because you are being humble and realizing that it's not for you to defeat this person. It's for the Lord to defeat the person. And so you are basically building that up, not out of spite, but out of saying, you know what, this is not about me. This is just not about my claiming victory over you. You know, this is something where this needs to be a God thing. And so you're not keeping burning coals on someone's head because it's like you saying, I figured out a way to defeat you. I'll be nice to you. It's not that. It's that you are genuinely humble in spirit and that you know that it's really not for you to have enemies. Yeah. 23, the north wind produces rain and a backbiting tongue, angry looks. Again, I'm not sure why these are grouped together like this, but verse 24 was always a key for me in my early life. Better to live on the corner of a roof than to share a house with a nagging wife. Good news from a distant land is like cold water to a parched throat or a weary person. A righteous person who yields to the wicked is like a muddied spring or a polluted well. That's actually a pretty cool analogy, actually, the way that actually works. If you are a person that is righteous and then you yield to the wicked, that you make it so that they are now in control. And hear me on this. This is not necessarily you making it so that they are in control of your life, of your physical life, but yielding to the wicked means you're just basically saying that they're right. And we do that without realizing it sometimes. We yield. We say, oh, well, okay. Yeah, that's okay. I guess I can't do anything about that. Well, I guess, yeah, maybe, you know, maybe there are more than two genders. And maybe, yeah. Not eating the spring. It's polluting the well. It's just like. You have this whole book of things that help you with this kind of stuff. Yet you yield to someone who's just loud and obnoxious? No, I don't think so. I don't think so. Verse 27, it's not good to eat too much honey or to seek glory after glory. To seek their glory. And again, it's if it becomes about you, where's God in that? If it's all about your glory, if it's all about you just eating because you like it, that's pride. A man who does not control his temper is like a city whose wall is broken down. Yeah, I mean, I hope you're finding some bits of character here. Sometimes it's in being shown what we're not that helps us to be encouraged in our own character, that encourages us that we're in the right place by seeing those extremes, by seeing those things that are, you know, oh yeah, okay, well, okay, I guess I'm not that, you know, I might be down on myself, but I'm not that. I might be proud of myself for certain things, but I'm not that. Do I need to worry about becoming that because I'm proud of myself? You know, it's a balancing act. It's a tough one too. I'm not going to lie on that. I'm not going to say anything to deceive anyone. There is a lot of things in my life where I don't like sounding like I'm promoting myself and things like that. And there's a lot of people that just don't know anything about what I'm doing because of it. You know, it's a balancing act. You know, I'd much rather have someone else share about what I'm doing and let it come out of that, which is, you know, even then I'd struggle. I just do. My mother would tell you that I've always struggled with that. My wife will definitely tell you I struggle with that. Just accepting a compliment for me is sometimes very difficult. But wow, thank you for hanging out with me for almost an hour today. It has been wonderful, and I'll play some music at the end here to celebrate. But yeah, just some things going on that are interesting, to say the least, and just kind of along these lines. And I've realized that the reason why I've not been really in like any kind of promotion mode about this effort we're doing here is because it still feels like it's about me. And I've been trying to purge that out a little bit. I think we've talked about this a couple months ago. And so I got some advice this week, and I think we're going to try it out. I had a vision of this channel of kind of being a bunch of different things that all kind of come together in a singular vision. And the advice was that really from a quote unquote channel perspective, that this really should be about having a single message for each piece. And then those flow together as a kind of a system. Like when you think of like what I call 11 talents as a system, that sort of thing, it would flow together that way. But the idea here is that it's hard for you to share that because that's not really a mission. And so I've been getting some feedback recently, and I kind of want to lean into some of that. And so if you have more of it, I very much appreciate it. So like this, like your character outshines your voice. Yeah. This sort of thing. This is the kind of things that I want to find a way to bring this out, to bring this towards. It's not just some dude reading some scripture. That there's a purpose behind it that lets you share it with someone that kind of inspires you to say, oh yeah. So I've heard some people say things like, you know, it's great that you're making the scripture not so boring, that you have a joyous nature about you and that sort of thing, and bringing that out, and that you're expanding on the scriptures and making them interesting from that way, which is honestly not what I envisioned. I mean, I started this because of a sense of accountability. I just wanted to have that sense of, you know, I do this every day and I'm inviting people along just to selfishly to keep me accountable to it. And that's just the honest truth. And so there's some things about that are very much been mutually beneficial, but I'm starting to feel a pull towards making this into more from a outreach kind of a thing, that there is some notions of just this being fun, enjoyable, that it doesn't have to be stoic and boring and, you know, ignored, but it can be part of our daily lives. So I'm looking to actually expand what we're doing on a daily basis here, and also to do things like have more of the music and things like that coming out, so that there's something where you can just have things throughout your day that are reminders of this love letter that we've gotten from God, that he's with us throughout the day, that he wants to bless us all throughout the day, and that these words don't just carry for a half hour in our lives, that they're actually throughout our day and throughout our week, that we're referencing back to them and don't even realize it, that it's that much ingrained in our lives. That's what I want for my life, and that's what I want for others as well. And so you're going to be seeing some, if you're a subscriber to the channel, you're going to see some differences coming. I'm playing around with some names to see what's going to resonate. I'm playing around with some additional content to see, you know, what things resonate to bring people in and things like that. But what you're doing is great. The people that are sharing this and to share the efforts and things like that, I think it's a great thing. And I'm going to work on, you know, finding ways to encourage those that come in to make this a part of their lives and to make this a habit and not just something that's like, oh yeah, yeah. In fact, a lot of the feedback I've been hearing is like, yeah, no, I've watched a few. I just don't have the time or whatever. You know, it's just like, well, is that true? How long were we talking today? It's like, yeah, these little things. It's like finding ways to help people make it a priority. Not for my sake. Because right now, to date, it's been, you know, making a priority kind of for my sake, let's be honest. And I've been better for it. I have been very blessed by this whole process. So if you have any feedback for that, any ideas, feel free to reach out to me. Let me know. I very much appreciate those things. But yeah, so, and then I'm actually investing a little bit, not a lot yet. There's some opportunities to invest a lot. There's opportunities to invest several $1,000s actually. I don't think I'm there yet, but I am investing a little bit into some further learning on this about how we can use these platforms to grow a little bit, not just doing this from the whatever we do. So I will keep you informed on things like that. But yeah, just watching this grow over the last 8 months has just been amazing to me, and I greatly appreciate it. I appreciate everybody who's been supportive and giving me ideas and you know, telling me when things don't work as much as when things work has been very appreciated. And so, yeah, we're going to be doing a lot more of this work. I think we're going to be leaning into this a lot more. I'm excited about it. So I just want to let you guys know. I appreciate you, and we'll go out today. It's a Saturday, so hopefully you're able to take some time of rest, but also to be able to do things that are appropriate in the right time. So, and that seems like the perfect way to segue into our theme of the day. So I will just let that go. Yeah. And I'll see you tomorrow.
I passed by the field of one who was lazy, by the vineyard of a stupid person. It was all overgrown with thorns. The ground was covered with weeds. The stone wall was broken down. Then I looked and received instruction. Understanding makes it firmly stand. Knowledge fills its precious rooms. Treasures grow though troubles loom. A little slumber, a little sleep. Poverty is what you'll keep. Build your house. The land. With a proverb a day, you'll bring wisdom your way. Read a new chapter
calendar day. Proverbs every day. Proverbs every day. A godly fear keeps us right on track. Leaves foes behind. We don't look back. Better a neighbor than far kin. Strength together. Fate. Stay true, don't imitate. Lessons learned along the way shape the dawn of a brighter day.